Hello and welcome. You're watching We the People. I'm Sonal Mehrotra Kapoor. Now, earlier this week, all of us users and slaves of WhatsApp woke up to a pop-up on our application. Update in privacy policy. Now, that's a regular feature. Apps often update their policy settings on a regular basis. And as always, you have to either accept it or opt out of the application altogether. But why has this latest update by WhatsApp drawn so many headlines? Well, let's quickly clear the air on that first. So let's see what exactly is the new WhatsApp policy change and update all about. Now, I've picked out two documents for you. One that talks about the last policy update that happened in December of 2019. And then there is the one in 2021. Let's talk about the 2019 first up. Now, there, if you see the words that I've marked out for you, it says your policy is coded in our DNA. Since we started WhatsApp, we have aspired to build our services with a set of strong privacy principles. Now, cut to the policy in 2021, where that entire paragraph, if you see, is missing. And in comes this new line. It says, we are one of the Facebook companies. You can learn more further below in this privacy policy about the ways in which we share information across this family of companies. And this privacy policy applies to all our services unless specified otherwise. Now, after that, WhatsApp actually goes on to list out what exactly are those various things that they have control over and they can access because you are on that. And frankly, I would really urge all our viewers to just read that once. It's a detailed document and frankly, lists out very, very clearly on the kind of access WhatsApp has over you. Now, once that information came out, mostly all headlines that we've been talking about have been about how can WhatsApp threaten to mine your data? It's WhatsApp way or the highway. This is WhatsApp dadagiri. But let me tell you something. The fact is that WhatsApp and Facebook always had this data on you. The only difference this time around that this update brings is that they have now made it mandatory for you to agree. Meaning, earlier, you could go to your settings and opt out of it. Now, like it or not, Facebook will access this data because they say it's all part of the family. But did you know that WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, they're not the only ones mining your data? It's practically every application on your phone. Since WhatsApp and Facebook openly put it out there, people are now talking about it. Take Google, for example. It knows exactly where you are, where you shop, what you do, what movie you watch, what are you searching, and because of Google Pay, even your account details. Now, with Apple's latest iOS update, it is quite simple to point out which app in your phone is actually listening to you. There's an orange line that pops. Now, the conclusion here is your phone never really sleeps. It's always listening to you. So on We the People today, the question we are asking, is data privacy simply a myth? Is everyone, frankly, mining your data from private applications to even governments? Is there simply no way we can truly protect our information? Not all of us can afford to be Edward Snowden, remember. Every moment, every mobile app on your phone collects information, and that information is up for sale. It's quite basic, actually. When the product is free, you are the product. On that note, let me bring in my panel. We've got quite an impressive lineup for you. We've got Ankit joining us. He is the managing editor for LinkedIn News India. Somebody who's already been tracking all these details quite closely. We've got Pranesh Prakash. He's an independent tech policy researcher. We've got Dhruv Bhutani, editor for Android Authority. Very glad to have Hitesh Chawla with us. He is the CEO for Silverpush. We also have Dr. Karnika Seth, cyber law expert and advocate. And delighted to have Samriddhi as well. She's a viewer and wrote in to us about some changes she has made to her phones and applications since the news got out. All right? So let me first give in the word to Ankit then. Ankit, you and I spoke earlier about how this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are two, every time I talk about this, there are two kind of people that really pop up. One who say, oh my God, this is WhatsApp dadagiri. And the other say, thank God, WhatsApp is at least coming out and saying that this is the data they have on you, compared to several other apps who are quietly behind the wheel doing it anyways.
Well, Sonal, you're absolutely right. At least WhatsApp and Facebook group of companies are divulging what kind of data they're collecting. And in fact, let me just give a quick ready reckoner on what kind of data is WhatsApp already logging and sharing with Facebook. This has already been happening since 2016. People are suddenly waking up to the headlines
Facebook
now and
took
thinking,
over
oh my
WhatsApp.
God.
Yeah.
So it's already sharing your phone number, your information, how many times you're logging into WhatsApp, how long you're using it, and which particular contact you're communicating with, most device identifiers, IP address, operating system, browser details, battery health, and a bunch of other information. Okay. Now, the question is simple. It's not whether it should be mining all this data. Otherwise, it will not be able to provide you the kind of rich experience in apps and instant messaging that it does.
Rich
Two
experience
parts.
Number being one, the operative is, word here. Go ahead.
Is it
go
safe
on, yeah.
for end users? Yes, messages are completely safe because they are end-to-end encrypted. So any message that I send to you, Sonal, can only and only be seen by you. Neither WhatsApp, nor Facebook, nor government can snoop into it and see the contents of that message. So messages continue to stay safe right the way they were from day one. The second bit is about, is user data, identifiable data, being snooped in by Facebook and other parties? Now, that is something that has actually been happening since 2016.
Ankit, can I just interrupt there? For my viewers who don't understand privacy in very detail, when you say user data, explain to them in simple terms, what does that mean?
Absolutely. So everything that I just said, right? Your mobile phone number, which contact are you coordinating or talking to or conversing most with, other personal identifiable data. So if I'm a corporate enterprise and I want to advertise or market my products to you, then I can basically tap into this database from the Facebook group of companies and customize a sales pitch or an advertising pitch for my product, which is completely customized for you basis your user behavior, basis which the conversion or the chances of me, the consumer, buying your particular product or service is much higher. This is a model at scale, and this is what makes Facebook and Google the most effective digital advertisers today in the world.
Right. Okay, now that you've understood that, let me take it a step forward now. The next thing that we heard when it came to this new Facebook privacy was the fact that, oh, let's delete Facebook. There's a hashtag going around of delete Facebook, delete WhatsApp altogether. And some very renowned people have been saying that let's move to Signal. I've got a graphic up for you which will show you what exactly is different between the two apps. Can I have the comparison graphics on the screen right now? Where we've pulled out for you on what all is the access point these apps have. So what you see on your screen right now is Facebook Messenger and that big list of things that they have access over. This includes your purchase history, financial information, precise location, physical address, email address, name, phone number, contacts, photos, videos, game content. The list is endless. Cut to WhatsApp, where the data linked to you is slightly less, the list gets a little smaller. Cut to iMessages on Apple, where the list comes down significantly. And cut to Signal, where none of this at all. So Signal at the moment, as is being pitched as something that all of us should be moving to, anybody who cares about privacy at all, says it takes nothing. But, like I said, there are no free lunches. How is Signal going to make money then? I wrote about this to Signal and they replied back saying that this is crowdfunded. But a quick history sort of note here, that's how WhatsApp also started. WhatsApp also started by saying that this is how they're going to be. Then they got taken over by Facebook and now this is the reality. So what is the guarantee that Signal tomorrow is not going to turn that way? Let me bring in Pranesh Prakash on this one. Pranesh, explain to me, isn't at the heart of all of this the revenue model and how it's working? And like I said, it's not just apps, it's governments, it's so many other things that we perhaps can't officially talk about on the program here.
Sure. So, yes, at the heart of this is revenue models. But you have to realize it was after WhatsApp was acquired by Facebook that they actually switched on end-to-end encryption in 2016. So Facebook voluntarily removed its own ability to read your messages. Now, that's something that's been taken, you know, for granted in many other cases. For instance, when you were using Google's Gmail up until recently, they were actually targeting ads to you on the basis of private communications, which Facebook actually removed
I'm
their ability to
I'm very glad you brought
do.
That up. Yeah.
So, so it's not, for me, a very one-sided, affair. It's you can actually see that there are tensions in what WhatsApp is doing. Now, WhatsApp is launching a new product, actually two. One is they're expanding how businesses are able to launch using WhatsApp and communicate with their users. And they're launching something, built around UPI, so a payments service. Now, the biggest set of changes in this recent amendment to their privacy policy are actually around those. Now, it might be instructive to look at what WhatsApp has as its privacy policy here in India and the rest of the world versus what it has as the policy for Europe, where they have the very strong GDPR privacy law. Now, that's
and what's
something
that?
That's
if
missing.
If you could give up, here was a couple of points from there.
Sure. So one example could be that in India, there is no law that prevents you from uploading your contacts onto WhatsApp, including people who actually aren't using WhatsApp. Now, to use WhatsApp, to be clear, you don't need to do this. You don't have to give them access to your contacts, to your address book, and to other people's phone numbers. That's not actually required in order to use it. But most people, when WhatsApp asks for permissions to access that information, they just click yes. Now, in India, if there was a law prohibiting it, then you wouldn't actually be uploading that information onto WhatsApp servers. Now, WhatsApp keeps information of people who are not on WhatsApp in a form that is unidentifiable to them, essentially in a pseudonymous form, according to their privacy policy. But, you know, we need stronger legal protections. So one of the things
Since you talk about legal protections, let me bring in Karnika Seth over here. She's a cyber law expert and advocate. Karnika, you know, there's the debate around how India needs a data protection law has gone on for too long now. And there is a huge sort of debate over the current form of that bill as well. At the moment, the broader question for me here is that Europe, even with such a strict law, has not really been able to catch up with the policy. Technology always manages to be a step ahead of you. How will India ensure that this is a watertight system?
Well, the PDP bill, which is underway now, is a strong law. It is basically structured in such a way that the whole institutional framework with the Data Protection Authority being there and stringent legal recourse available, heavy fines and heavy penalties if there is any kind of a breach with any personal sensitive information of people, is going to bring a good law. We're only hoping that it happens faster than what it has taken. And this move of WhatsApp policy is coming at such a time where there is no strong law in India in terms of privacy or data protection. And
you
that
are saying
is,
then that if today the law was in place, WhatsApp wouldn't be able to do this?
WhatsApp would have looked at very, this policy changes very minutely because a lot of them would not have been, able to pass without the scrutiny of the Data Protection Authority. And if there was a complaint made, then the entire, analysis of this whole new change would have been, under a very close scanner. Because right now that structure and mechanism is not in place. It's an easy contract, click-wrap agreement, which is going to happen and which is happening. People are just clicking on I agree of the policy and there's a legally valid, valid document, a contract which is being formed under Section 10A of the Indian contract, this Indian Information Technology Act, which is legally valid. So if that is all that is needed, then, a lot of data of people is at stake. And that is what is the worry, because even though there is end-to-end encryption, how that is going to be monetized, how that is going to be put to commercial use is not being looked into and introspected from that scanner as PDP would have gotten to, if this was in place already.
So on that note, let me also bring in an insider's perspective here. We have Hitesh Chawla with us, CEO for Silverpush. Hitesh, as somebody who's from the system, who deals with this information gathering and disseminating and is, you know, in the thick of things, at this point, what are your major concerns?
So can I add to something that was being said earlier?
Sure.
So one of the important things about data protection laws is that the data will have to be kept in India, which is actually one of the huge benefits of it, or one of the most important or key aspects of it, because when the data is kept in India, at least it's safe that in data of India is not going to US servers. Hmm. So that anyways is a very important part of the law, which will help in protecting the data.
But it can always be sold to companies there?
Now, that's a second part of it. Coming to how the data is used or how the data is captured.
Hmm.
So I would say apps like Facebook or even WhatsApp or Google or all of these apps, I would say they at least reveal what they're capturing.
Hmm.
And all the other, so many other apps, in fact, so many free apps that people have on their phones, they capture so much more data, so much more data, and they do it for selling it.
Can I ask you and give our viewers a good example on that front? Remember, all of us had this FaceApp controversy where you could go to Facebook and upload your picture and it would tell you how you're going to look at a particular age. Now, is it true that it was actually run by Russians and that was a way to actually take in all your biometrics?
So I don't know. I don't know about that part, if it's true or not. But yeah, these things happen. And it's very common. Any app. In fact, I mean, not any app, but a lot of free apps that we use, publishers or owners of those apps will put any third party SDK or a tracking code in their apps for just small additional revenue. And again, they're not wrong because they're giving free apps, so they need to make money. But there is no protection. There is no privacy that we talk about. And in fact, they don't care about our data. When I talk about companies like Facebook or Google.
Well, clearly they don't. But tell me this, Hitesh, that yes, they're giving us a free service. And what they're taking in return from us is all the data on us. We become a product, which is then sold on to other companies. And then they track us, they target us and all of that. Shouldn't there be transparency here? I should at least know where all I'm giving it and at least have the choice.
So Facebook and Google, I mean, one part is that I still feel safer with them, as in my data being safe with them. The second is that they do tell that they use our data in some way to personalize the ads, not more than that. They won't be selling the data. They won't be keeping data as it is, as in it's more of processed data where they create personas or they create...
Give me an example of what you're saying.
So let's say if I want to target a user, I want to run ads. And for me, a target user is, let's say, a student living in Delhi, studying engineering. So that's my clear target audience. And how do I reach them? So that's where Google and Facebook help. And all businesses want that targeting. So if we look from the business side, it's very, I mean, the same people, when they're running their own ads, they want this kind of targeting available. And I think it's win-win from both sides, because Google and Facebook, at least the data is safer, and we know that they have better mechanisms in place to prevent the data leaks.
Right. Let me bring in Dhruv Bhutani over here. He's the editor for Android Authority. Dhruv, then at the end of the day, is it really a question that privacy is, it is a myth, right? At the end of the day, there is no way we can actually escape it. All of us have become such slaves of all these applications. I mean, can you imagine your life without Google? Can we actually imagine going around, driving around in Delhi or any part of the world without maps? Until the time it exists, they are continuing, they will continue to take it. For example, even if I were to switch off and... with, like I said, with the Apple iOS, it is so simple to detect that. The amount of times that orange light pops up, that's the amount of data all of them are using. Dhruv?
Sorry. Can you repeat that?
All right. I don't think my line with Dhruv is very clear. Let me go that to Pranesh. You're raising your hand. Go ahead.
So I think it is very much possible to live in a de-Googlified world and live without Facebook. I, for instance, don't use Facebook myself. I joined WhatsApp quite recently, just a couple of years ago or so. And so one can actually live that way. What I would urge is not to move from one walled garden, which is WhatsApp, where you can't communicate with people outside of WhatsApp. See, for instance, when you have email, it doesn't matter which company you're using. You can even set up your own email server and communicate with anyone else using this technology called email. So you can use Google's services to mail people using Yahoo, mail people using ndtv.com addresses, and so on. It doesn't matter. It all works. There's interoperability. That's what we need in this world of instant messaging as well. There is no technological reason why that's not achievable. It's just that everyone wants their own market. And so that's perhaps somewhere that regulators could also look at.
Okay, Pranesh, you do something which is very difficult for a lot of people. And on that note, let me bring in my viewer, Samriddhi's on the show with us. Samriddhi, can you imagine your life without Facebook, without Instagram, without Google, without any of it?
Yes, of course. Without Facebook, I've been living without Facebook because Facebook has become a lot of, toxic place for all of us. And I would anytime recommend anybody out there to please uninstall Facebook. Do not use Facebook because
Strong words. But you and I Facebook connected on Instagram.
That's I guess Instagram. No, of course I cannot because I work on Instagram. I put out my videos, my posts out there. So of course not. I cannot imagine my life without Instagram.
And let me ask you this. When you hear all these experts on the show today who are telling you that you simply do not have control over your data, you don't even know in most cases how much of data is being mined out of you, does that change your opinion at all? Like, you are somebody who wrote to me and said that, well, I am going to delete WhatsApp after this. I'm moving to Signal. The fact is, what's the guarantee that tomorrow Signal is not going to go this way?
Of course, I know there is no guarantee. There's no guarantee of anything. But the only thing I have right now is something better than WhatsApp, right? Signal. Signal now, today, gives me a guarantee that no, we are not going to store any of your data. So for time being, Signal does not play with us. We can use it, right? And maybe after Signal, someone will come to give us something else. That somebody, we are not going to store your data.
Okay. Ankit has a view. Ankit, go ahead. One second,
I just want to note that Signal is open source.
One second, Pranesh. One second. I think Ankit is trying to make a point. I'll just come back to you. Ankit.
Yeah, Sonal. Thank you for that. There is a narrative which is quite popular on social media and certain sections of the media that tech is this big monster. Neither is it the worst thing out there, nor is it the savior of humanity. We get incredible value when we use these apps. It connects billions of people across the planet, irrespective of time zones. 2020 was a year when we saw personal connections possible because of these tech companies. But I think a big responsibility, Sonal, lies on the users as well. They have to educate themselves. They have to take their privacy in their control. Just the way you would operate in a real offline world, we cannot operate very differently on an online world, right? Common sense has to prevail, and we have to take charge and control of our privacy.
All right, Dhruv, you haven't managed to say anything by now. Just a quick word.
I could hear you earlier on. But yes, I think the point being made earlier was that, you don't know what happens going forward with Signal. But I think the biggest reassurance that we have right now that it's not backed by any company that has any stake in advertising, has any stake in your data. It's completely non-profit. It runs on donations. And I mean, that's as much of a guarantee that you can have at the moment.
You mean that tweet by Elon Musk was for free?
What?
You mean that the tweet that came in favor of Signal from Elon Musk was absolutely free?
I certainly hope so.
You never know, right? Like, that's the point I was trying to make. Hitesh, very quickly to you. Aren't these companies then taking advantage of the fact that, I don't know if people across the world, but as Indians, we simply do not care. There is so much illiteracy when it comes to data mining that people don't know. I can say this, and I have not been the one reading. I just push accept because I just want to get on with it. It's only after I understand, oh my God, and now I'm a little more aware because, you know, I'm doing the show and everything, that I get to understand that I have to read the private policy. This is something that I need to care about. Only then would my politicians care about. Only then will a policy change happen.
No, you're right. You're right. It's very hard for people. As in, you can't expect everyone in India to be educated so fast. As in, it'll take time. It'll take a lot of time. And in the meantime, the only way is basically setting up a policy around it.
Hmm.
That's the only way that can be achieved. But again, signal is not the solution. We have we at least have 50 apps in our phones on an average.
Hmm.
And if you have 50 apps and other 49 apps are still tracking your data, one single app switching from WhatsApp to Signal won't solve the problem.
Hmm.
So solution is not signals. We are not moving from Instagram. Instagram is still the number one right now.
Last 30 seconds, Pranesh wanted to come in earlier. Please go ahead.
I just want to emphasize that we can't, by just educating ourselves, fix the problem. We need regulation. We need regulations focusing on competition and interoperability.
Hmm.
And for viewers out there, I'd urge you to use free and open source software built on open standards. That's the only way to actually prevent these kinds
what
of walled
gardens.
What does it mean,
open standards?
Where you have
an average viewer won't get it.
So I essentially mean something like email or something like Matrix or other software which are out there, which enable you to communicate with people outside of that walled garden. So I can't communicate with people outside of WhatsApp by using WhatsApp software. Okay, and I need to be able to do that. The way email is open, the world of instant messaging currently isn't open. And there are products out there which are open in that way. And I feel that moving from one walled garden to another just won't suffice.
Right.
Focus on openness. And we need government's intervention in form of regulation.
Okay, I've run out of time completely, unfortunately. This is a very fascinating subject. I promise to return to it, however. But thank you so much, all of you, for giving us your time and educating us all on this extremely pertinent issue. Remember, it's all connected. Your information going to these apps, going to the government, being used for propaganda, being used for fake news. So please try and understand what we're trying to say here. Consumer awareness is the only way forward here. That's it from We the People tonight. Good night.